ینا چروری با سہشنونا امانینا مان جینا کیرتنیا صدا ہری ہرے نام ہرے نام ہرے نام آئے بکی بلم کلو ناسکیب گتی رنیتا. I have found two verses in the Bhagavatam which for me puts me in the proper mood to hear this Bhagavad Gita. So just two verses from the first canto. Vyavahita pritana mukam niriksya svajana vidhad vimukkasya dosha buddhya kumatim arahat atma vidyayash charanarati paramasya tasya mestu. When Bhishma Dev was lying on the deathbed of arrows, one of the things he said to Krishna, he said, when Arjuna was seemingly polluted by ignorance, upon observing the soldiers and commanders before him, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, the Lord eradicated his ignorance by delivering transcendental knowledge. May his lotus feet always remain the object of my attraction. And then the other verse is by Arjuna. When Arjuna returned from Dwaraka, after witnessing the Maushala Leela, the destruction of the Yadu dynasty and the disappearance of Krishna, when Arjuna returned to Hastinapur and he met his elder brother Yudhishthir, this is what he said. Desha kalarata yuktani kritta po pashamani cha haranti smaratas chittang govinda bihitani me. Now I am attracted to those instructions imparted to me by the personality of Godhead, Govinda. Can everyone say that holy name? Because they are impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space. So now we are ready to study the yoga of the Supreme Person. There's a short chapter summary, which is contained in the Bhaktivedanta Veda base. The ultimate purpose of Vedic knowledge is number one, to detach oneself from the entanglement of the material world. And number two, to understand Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who understands Krishna's supreme identity surrenders unto him and engages in his devotional service. So I have broken out this chapter into different parts. Verses 1 through 6 I entitle Understanding Reality and Its Perverted Reflection. We can read the translations together if you like. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, no, we do it together. It is said that there is an imperishable banyan tree that has its roots upwards and its branches down, and whose leaves are the Vedic hymns. One who knows this tree is the knower of the Vedas. Number two, the branches of this tree extend downward and upward, nourished by the three modes of material nature. The twigs are the objects of the senses. This tree also has roots going down. And these are bound to the fruitive actions of human society. Verse 3 and 4. The real form of this tree cannot be perceived in this world. No one can understand where it ends, where it begins, or where its foundation is. But with determination, one must cut down this strongly rooted tree with the weapon of detachment. So this word we see many times throughout Bhagavad Gita, detachment. And detachment is like two sides of a coin. One side of detachment is to be indifferent to the attractions of this material world. But that can only successfully be done when we have the other side of the coin, which is attachment to Krishna. Just being detached from the material world, that's impersonal. We want to be personalists. We want to be devotees. So besides being indifferent to the allurements of the material world, we also want to be attached to the lotus feet of Krishna. The song that we sing so many times, Bhaja Hure Mana Sri Nandanandana Obhaya Charanara Vindare. And there is the famous verse that describes the great devotee Maharaj Ambarish. Sabai Manak Krishna Padara Vindayor. So that's detachment. Let's continue. Please read along with me if you want. You can say out loud. Thereafter, one must seek that place from which, having gone, one never returns, and there surrender to that supreme personality of Godhead, from whom everything began, and from everything has extended since time immemorial. And I find this interesting. Krishna is actually talking about himself in the third person. Because that supreme, who we must surrender, from whom everything, that's Krishna. So Krishna is treating himself as some separate entity. That's why I say Krishna is not cool. He's ice cold. He's the coolest. Let us continue. Text number 5. Those who are free from false prestige, illusion, and false association, who understand the eternal, who are done with material lust, who are freed from the dualities of happiness and distress, and who, unbewildered, know how to surrender unto the Supreme Person, attain to the eternal kingdom. So here, in Bhagavad Gita, you get the keys to the kingdom of God. If you study this Bhagavad Gita, you will see that Krishna tells you exactly what you have to do to return to him. So all we have to do is take the instructions Krishna gives, apply it, and be successful. Text number 6. That supreme abode of mine is not illumined by the sun or moon, nor by fire or electricity. Those who reach it never return to this material world. Many times over the past 20 or more years, I've always been asked that question. Prabhu, you know, we originally were with Krishna in the spiritual world. Now we're in the material world. So if we go back, we might fall again. And I say, what are you worried about? Look what Krishna just said. Those who reach it never return to this material world. So then I say to the person, do you doubt Krishna? If you don't doubt Krishna, then this question shouldn't arise. Those who reach it never return. So don't worry. There's no need to be in anxiety. And this is not the only time Krishna says that. Krishna said it. Where else? Very good. And also in chapter 8, I believe, he says the same thing. Upon reaching it, he never returned. So I don't know about you, but I believe Krishna. And Krishna says, you never return. And that is how I answer that question. Now, verses 7 through 11, I entitle, Understanding the Position of the Conditioned Soul. And I'd like to say Hari Bol to the 18 devotees who are, now 19 devotees who are watching class on the internet. Let's all say Hari Bol. All right, let's go on. Text 7 through 11. Understanding the position of the conditioned soul. Number seven. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. This, for me, is one of the most important verses of Bhagavad Gita. And we see that Prabhupada quotes this verse many times in his lectures, in his purports. The first point here, we are Krishna's eternal fragmental parts. Eternal means no beginning, no middle, no end. Always. The other idea is fragmental parts. Meaning, I don't want to burst anybody's bubble, but even when we go back home, back to Godhead, we're still going to be servants. What? I don't want to be servants. Well then, if you don't want to be servants, come back and take another birth in Vancouver. But you're still a servant, because that is what is our constitutional position. So even when we achieve liberation, we're still going to be a fragmental part and parcel of Krishna, because that's who we are eternally. We can't change who we are. I have an expression I use in some of my songs. The soul is in drag. Because the soul is inhabiting different material bodies, just like somebody who's a man tries to pretend he's a woman. They say, oh, he's in drag. So that's all of us. We're pretending to be something that we're not. That's the material world. When actually we are Krishna's eternal fragmental part. We are Krishna's eternal servant. That's who we are. And self-realization means to understand thoroughly, once and for all, yes. I am Krishna's eternal servant, and that makes me so happy that I surrender. I give up all these other misconceptions of who I am, and I say no, I am only Krishna's insignificant eternal servant. Now I'm happy. Now the other part of this verse is what's happening now. Due to conditioned life, that's where we are. What's happening? Struggling very hard with the six senses. So those five senses, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, skin, the knowledge acquiring senses. And then the sixth sense, the mind. Notice Krishna says struggling, and that's exactly what's going on. From the time we get up to the time we go to bed, and even sometimes when we go to bed, we're struggling. Some people can't even sleep at night. They're struggling with their mind, insomnia. Or they have some chronic disease that won't allow them to sleep. That's what you get when you take on a material body. As soon as we signed up for a material body, all right, here's what you get. you get to struggle. You get to struggle with your eyes, your ears, your nose, your tongue, your sense of taste. You're simply struggling because the senses are pulling and pushing. They don't give you any peace. The only way to end the struggle is fix your mind on Krishna and surrender. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Let us go to verse number 8. The living entity in the material world carries different conceptions of life from one body to another, as the air carries aromas. Thus he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another. So Krishna is reviewing something he indicated in chapter 2, the concept of reincarnation. The concept of this is not the only life. We have had many, many lives in the past, and we're going to have many, many lives in the future. All because of this. All because of not surrendering. All because of not accepting that I am only Krishna's eternal servant. Number 9. The living entity, thus taking another gross body, obtains a certain type of ear, eye, tongue, nose, and sense of touch, which are grouped about the mind. And thus he enjoys a particular scent of sense objects. So, there are the lives of the dogs. They also have a set of senses. And they enjoy a certain quality of life. Even amongst human beings, some human beings, their senses and their situation where they are enjoying sense objects is of a completely different nature than me and you. You have demigods. And they have material bodies with mind and senses. And they're enjoying a different quality of sense objects. Here on earth, even on earth, some of us, we all know what is our own mind. My mind is not the same as your mind. And your senses are not the same as mine. We don't have the same tastes. Whether it be food or music or what we think is attractive. One person can look at a piece of art and say, oh, that's wonderful. Another person says, looks like garbage to me. How is that? Because everybody has a different set of senses grouped about the mind. Same way with music. Some people, they hear a certain kind of music, to them it's nectar. And somebody else thinks, turn that nonsense sound off. Boom, 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 boom. Another person is thinking, oh, that's great. That's fantastic. He can't get it loud enough. I know when I'm driving in L.A., sometimes a car pulls up to me, and that bass is so loud, it's like almost breaking my window. Boom, 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 boom. So I just turn up my Prabhupada cassette. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. His set of senses grouped about a mind is different than mine. What to speak of the lower species? Everybody's existence is different. Here Krishna is giving you the key to understand. Number 10. The foolish cannot understand how a living entity can quit the body, nor can they understand what sort of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But one whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all of this. We're up to 25 persons online. What is that eyes trained in knowledge? That eyes trained in knowledge means you have a spiritual master who teaches you the Vedas. That's trained in knowledge. We're not talking about ordinary university. We're talking about transcendental knowledge, which is taught in Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada writes in his introduction, which I encourage everyone, please read Introduction to Bhagavad Gita. It's brilliant. Prabhupada mentions there towards the end of his introduction that we don't have time to read all the Vedic literature. So just read this one book, Bhagavad Gita. Just read this. You'll know everything. Why? Because it's the synopsis of all the Vedas. A few weeks ago, I decided once again that I was going to do an in-depth study of Bhagavad Gita. For the past 3-4 years, all I've been studying is Prabhupada's Krishna book. But just recently, Krishna in my heart told me, now it's time for you to once again study Bhagavad Gita. So that's what I've been doing every day. In my study hours, I am simply going through the entire Bhagavad Gita, all the verses, all the purports. And I am finding this Bhagavad Gita is the nectarine of life. So good. Number 11. The endeavoring transcendentalists who are situated in self-realization can see all this clearly. But those whose minds are not developed and who are not situated in self-realization cannot see what is taking place, though they may try to. In chapter 2, Krishna talked about the dhira, the sober man, who will not be disturbed at the time of death. So the endeavoring transcendentalist, that is what all of us should be. All of us should be endeavoring transcendentalists. Sometimes I want to get a, you know how the athletes, they wear their jackets, which has their team on it, you know, their team. So I want to get a jacket, and on the back it says, pure devotee in training. Because that's what we're doing. By following Srila Prabhupada's teachings and instructions, he is teaching us how to become a pure devotee. We're in training. We're apprentices. We are learning the art of how to transcend this material existence. This is the greatest art, the greatest sport. Forget the Canucks. Forget the Miami Heat. We are the real athlete. We are transcendental athletes. Because instead of trying to shoot a stupid ball into a hoop, instead of trying to shoot a stupid puck into a net and get paid millions of dollars, what are we trying to do? We're trying to go back home, back to Godhead. Unfortunately, in this age of Kali, they'll pay millions of dollars for a Shudra to bounce a ball and shoot it into a hoop. But when we come to give them some books or prasad, no, not interested. This is Kali Yuga. But we should know that we are the topmost spiritual transcendental athletes. We are trying to do something which very few people are even attempting. What does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? Out of thousands among men, you'll find one person endeavoring for self-realization. And out of those who have achieved, hardly one knows me. So you devotees of Krishna are very, very rare. That's why we offer obeisances. Vanchaka Patarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patita Nang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Why not get a chair? It'd be more comfortable. You sure? Look like you were. Okay. I mean, I'm sitting in the chair. You should also sit. It's good to see you. All right, verses 12 to 14, I entitled Vibhuti. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasari Gaura Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Text number 12. The splendor of the sun, which dissipates the darkness of this whole world, comes from me. And the splendor of the moon and the splendor of fire are also from me. So this is how a devotee sees. A non-devotee just sees, oh, there's the sun, there's fire. Just takes it for granted, that's nature. Whereas a devotee thinks, oh, look at that sun. Just see how great my Lord is. Or the moon at night. Those of you from India, you know what it's like after a hot summer day. The moon comes out and you feel refreshed. So the devotee thinks, oh, how nice my Lord is. And fire, without fire, can't keep warm, can't cook. You need that fire. Where does that potency come from? That comes from God, comes from Krishna. Text 13. I enter into each planet, and by my energy they stay in orbit. I become the moon, and thereby supply the juice of life to all vegetables. So, in Bhagavad Gita, there's more than just religion. There's science. Look at the science we're learning today. Now we know how the planets stay in orbit. It is by Krishna's grace, by Krishna's order. Prabhupada would sometimes say, why the ocean only goes to this point? Because Krishna has said, that's where you end. And now we see what makes the vegetables succulent. Krishna's potency through the moon. And I've heard that farmers, when they grow, according to the moon cycle. Even if they're not devotees, this is like everybody knows this. It's really very interesting. Number 14. I am the fire of digestion in the bodies of all living entities. And I join with the air of life, outgoing and incoming, to digest the four kinds of foodstuff. So we need Krishna even to eat, to digest. We're not independent. We think, we like to think, I'm doing this, I've done that. No, it's Krishna who's doing everything. If there's no fire in digestion, Vaishvanara, then you can eat and eat and eat and get sick and sick and could even die. That power of digestion comes from Krishna. And the four kinds of food, food which is licked, chewed, drunk, and sucked. Four kinds of food. Final section, verses 15 to 20, I entitled Yoga of the Supreme Person. Here's one of my favorite verses, one of the most important in Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada quotes over and over and over again this verse. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Again, I use silly words. I remember. No, I didn't. Krishna remembered and gave me the access code. And how come I forget? And that's Krishna again. For devotees, Krishna helps us to forget our bad sinful desires. And for the non-devotee, Krishna reminds him, oh, remember a few lifetimes ago you wanted to do this sinful activity? Here's your chance. Go for it. And Krishna helps the non-devotee, you don't want to remember me. Therefore, I will help you to forget me. Krishna is so cool. You want to forget him, he'll help you to forget him. And if you want to remember him, for the devotee, Krishna helps you to remember him in so many ways. That's why sometimes we have this thing, a blessing in disguise. Sometimes we have a plan. Sometimes we're trying to do something, and it doesn't turn out the way we wanted it or expected it. That's Krishna saying, you know what? You need to learn this lesson instead. So sometimes that happens. It's called a wake-up call. When I was in Santiago, Chile, a few years ago, I was lying in my bed, all of a sudden at 4 o'clock in the morning, tremendous earthquake threw me off the bed. I ran, well, I didn't run, I just crawled out, sat down on the floor. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Although the earthquake lasted maybe a minute, it felt like 12 years or more. Tears were coming down my eyes like torrents of rain. Anyone been in an earthquake besides me? You know what I'm talking about. Nobody likes the earthquake. And then for a week later, even I would hear one little creak. Cut it, cut it. I'd be brushing my teeth and I'm thinking, oh, it could come again at any. Hare Krishna. I was so Krishna conscious for about a month. Because of that earthquake, my whole psyche and being, if somebody was running down the hall, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, because it would just automatically would remind me of that intense earthquake that I experienced in Chile. So that is Krishna's wake-up call, reminding us, hello, you are forgetting me. So now I'm going to help you to remind you about me. And if you want to know something, this happens to me so many times. I have a problem. I have a puzzle. I have a quandrum. What do I do? When I'm between a rock and the hard place, when my back is against the wall, I go to my friend. Say hello to my little friend. I take my little friend and I chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Maybe it's 10 minutes, half an hour, an hour at the most. The answer comes clear as a bell. It's as if Krishna sends me a text message. Here is the answer to your problem. This chanting has never failed me. I have always found when I have a problem, when I don't know what to do, I simply wait for Krishna to give me the answer. The second part of this verse, by all the Vedas, I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas. There is a verse in the Vedas themselves that says if you can chant two syllables, Hari, everybody, you now know all the Vedas. You graduated. If you can chant those two syllables, what were they? You know all the Vedas. And that's what Krishna is saying here. By all the Vedas, you should find me. If you have studied the Vedas and you have not come to the conclusion of Krishna, then you've got to study again. You've got to keep studying till you come to the point that Krishna is supreme. How many people here honestly accept Krishna as the supreme? Very good.
Very good.
You've passed. Excellent.
Excellent.
Keep going.
Keep going.
And who compiled this Vedanta? Vedanta means the end of knowledge. Where does knowledge end? It doesn't just keep going on. There's a goal. There's an end. And that end is Krishna.
Very good.
And Krishna says, I know the Vedas. Of course he knows the Vedas. Just like the man who manufactures a car should know everything about the car. Or the person who creates a computer should know everything about the computer. So Krishna is the original speaker of the Vedas. He knows what it's all about. Let us go now. Text number 16. There are two classes of beings, the fallible and the infallible. In the material world, every living entity is fallible. And in the spiritual world, every living entity is called infallible. Besides these two, there is the greatest living personality, the supreme soul, the imperishable Lord himself, who has entered the three worlds and is maintaining them. Again, Krishna being cool is talking about himself in the third person as if there's somebody else that he's referring to, when actually it's him. This is why I love Krishna. I love Krishna because if you read Bhagavad Gita, you see Krishna appeals to you through your intelligence. In 18th chapter, when Krishna finishes up his instructions, he doesn't twist Arjuna's arm and say, now do what I say, Arjuna. He doesn't hold a gun or a sword to Arjuna and say, surrender, Arjuna. No, what does Krishna say? Arjuna, I've told you everything. You decide what you want to do. Yatejasi tatakuru. This is what I like about Krishna. He treats you with due deference. He treats you as an intelligent being. He lays everything out, tells you, if you do this, you'll get this result. If you do this, you'll get this result. Now, do as you like. He's the ultimate godfather. This is what I like about Krishna. So what does he say here now? He is beyond both the fallible and the infallible. That means he is the supreme. There is a word in the Vedas, asammordva, or asamma urdva, means no one is equal to God and no one is greater. One time, a few years ago, a young Indian child said to me, Prabhuji, who created Krishna? I said, no, you misunderstand. By definition, Krishna or God is that person who nobody created. Yes, I come from my mother and father who came from their mother and father back. But the buck stops with Krishna. By definition, Krishna has no origin other than himself. Anadir Adi Govinda. So he is the supreme. No one is equal to him. No one is greater. Text number 18. Because I am transcendental, beyond both the fallible and the infallible, and because I am the greatest, I am celebrated both in the world and in the Vedas as that supreme person. The Sanskrit, Purushottama, everyone say. It's two words, purusha, uttama. Person who is the transcendental, the topmost, there's nobody above him. Whenever I see this phrase, because I am the greatest, when I was growing up in the 60s, we had one famous champion fighter, Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay. And he would always say, I am the greatest. Now you look at him now, he ain't so great. He got his head bashed in so many times, he can barely talk. He ain't so great anymore. But if you read Krishna book, there are 90 chapters in that Krishna book. You will see at the end of 90 chapters, Krishna is undefeated. He came out victorious in every episode. Therefore, he is called Achyuta. Everyone say, he's infallible and he is unconquerable. Ajita. Everyone say, Ajita. He is unconquerable. Nobody can defeat him. Text number 19. Now, this 19th verse is very special to me. Because in 1973, this was the first verse I memorized. I would go out all day on the subways, distributing Prabhupada's books, collect donations. And during the time when I wasn't doing it, I was memorizing verses of Bhagavad Gita. And this was the first verse I memorized. Whoever knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without doubting, is the knower of everything. He therefore engages in full devotional service to me, O son of Bharata. So the key here, without doubting, that's the gap. How to come to that stage where you know that Krishna is God without doubting. That's actually a gift. Because it's not something that you can just academically accept. To come to that realization in your heart, yes, Krishna is the Supreme. I have no doubt about that. That, and according to Bhagavad Gita, that kind of conviction comes after many, many lifetimes. Bahunam, Janmanam Ante, Gyanavamam Prapadyate, Vasudeva Sarvamitmi, Samahatma. Very rare to get that conviction. And only you know that. Only you know that. Just like, how do you know that this is the right person to marry? How do you know that you've eaten enough? These kinds of things only you know within. So, for me or for anyone, how do you know that Krishna is the Supreme? Because there's no test. Not that Krishna is going to appear at halftime in the Super Bowl. It's not that Krishna is going to appear on Jay Leno's show or any, no. To come to this conviction that Krishna is God, that is a gift which comes from Krishna. And it comes after many, many, many lifetimes. So, if you have gotten to that stage, treasure that. Relish that. That is the most important gift that you have received in this lifetime. That you have come to the conviction that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you've got it, don't let it go. That's more valuable than any diamond or any billions and billions of dollars. As the song goes, money can't buy me love. That is so true. To come to this point that Krishna is my dearmost friend, that Krishna is my lovable object, that's the greatest gift. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Final verse. This is the most confidential part of the Vedic scriptures, O sinless one, and it is disclosed now by me. Whoever understands this will become wise, and his endeavors will know perfection. So it's 8 o'clock. Do we stop here? We can continue. All right, does anybody have any questions on the subject matter? Any questions? I love questions. You have a story. Share.
I have a story. And it was a new lady, Chinese lady, who opened up the store for us late. And when she played this song all day, it's continuously, who let the dogs in?
Very famous bhajan. For the Malechas and Yavanas. Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna. He appreciated. Jai. Very good. Yes, sir. Comment. Okay. May Krishna bless you even more. You just made my whole year. Thank you. Questions? Any questions? Going once? You have a question? Going twice? You had a question? You're just stretching. All right. Let me read now. Let me finish up. There's an excerpt from the purport to the last verse that I'd like to read. It's not the entire purport, but it's an excerpt. While one is performing devotional service in the association of pure devotees in full Krishna consciousness, there are certain things which require to be vanquished altogether. The most important thing one has to surmount is the weaknesses of the heart. This is one of my favorite purports. Please listen very carefully. The first fall down is caused by the desire to lord it over material nature. So there's your original sin. Same concept was there. Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, same thing. The first fall down is caused by the desire to lord it over material nature. Thus, one gives up the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Lord. In other words, you can't have both. You're either desiring to lord it over, or you're serving Krishna. That's the only two options you have. The second weakness of the heart is that as one increases the propensity to lord it over material nature, he becomes attached to matter and the possession of matter. The problems of material existence are due to these weaknesses of the heart. If ever I was invited to the White House, or if ever I was on TV, I would read this paragraph. This would be my address to the world. Prabhupada, in these sentences, has nailed it. The problems of material existence are due to these weaknesses of the heart. Desiring to lord it over, and then you become attached, and you want more and more and more and more. In this 15th chapter, the first five verses describe the process of freeing oneself from these weaknesses of the heart. And the rest of the chapter, from the sixth verse through the end, discusses Purushottama Yoga. Thus ends the 15th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of Purushottama Yoga, the yoga of the Supreme Person. So, do they have this? I don't see any questions online. Any more questions? Otherwise, we'll chant kirtan. Everybody, was it okay? Did you like the class? Is all right? All right. So then, let's do kirtan. Fair enough.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschadyadisha Tarine. Prabhupada Prabhupada Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Govinda Jaya Jaya, Gopala Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari, Govinda Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya, Gopala Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari, Govinda Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya, Gopala Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari, Govinda Jaya Jaya. Govinda Hari, Gopala Hari. Gopala Hari, Govinda Hari. Govinda Gopala. Gopala Govinda. Govinda Hari, Gopala Hari. Jaya Rama Hari, Jaya Krishna Hari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you. Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Govinda Gopala Gopala Govinda Hari 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 Jai Jagannath, Jai Jagannath, Jai Jagannath, Jai Jagannath, Jai Baladev, Jai Subhadra, Jai Jagannath, Jai Jagannath, Jaya Baladev, Jaya Subhadra. Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath. Jaya Baladev, Jaya Subhadra. Jai Jagannath, Jai Jagannath, Jai Jagannath, Jai Jagannath. Jaya Radha Manohar, Radha Manohar Radhe. Jaya Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan Radhe. Prabhupada Prandanahi. Jaya Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan Radhe. Jaya Radha Madana Mohan Radha Madana Mohan Radhe. Jaya Radha Madana Mohan Radha Madana Mohan Radhe. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Sri Radhe. Jaya Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribrajaka Chaja Sotra Satya Sri Srimad's Divine Grace. Sri Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namachar Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Siddhartha Krishna Gopinath Sri Amakanda Giri Govardhana Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Navadvip Dham Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Jumna Devi Ki Jai. Ganga Devi ki jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. ISKCON Vancouver ki jai, Gaur Premanande. All glories to the Assembled Devotees. All glories to the Assembled Devotees. All glories to the Assembled Devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Guranga. Hari Hari Bol. Hari Hari Bol. Hari Hari Bol. Hari Hari Bol. Namaste Narasimhaya Bolo. Prahlada Khlada Dayani. Hiranya Kashipur Vakshaha. Shila Tangana Kalae. Ito Narsinga Parato Narsinga. Yato Yato Yamitato Narsingo. Bahir Narsinga Hidaye Narsinga. Narsingham Madim Charanam Krapaji. Tavakara Kamalavare Nakam Adabhuta Sringam Ndalita Hiranyakashipu Tanubringam Keshavadvita Narahadi Rupa Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Taba Kashipu Hey Nada Jai Nisringa Dev Keshavadvita Naradi Rupa Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Bolo Hey Jaya Jagadish, Jaya Jagadish, Jaya Jagadish Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Shri Shri Radha Badan Mohana Ki Jai, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gorni Jai Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Vancouver Ki Jai, God Premanande! All glories to the Assembled Devotees, all glories to the Assembled Devotees, all glories to the Assembled Devotees. Is there prasadam for everybody? Where should we go? Let's go. Class is dismissed. Hari Bol. That's it. The show is over. That's all, folks. Hari Bol. Good to see you, my friend. Hari Bol.